This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ripped.
NASCAR.
Four-time Cup champion, Jeff Gordon.
I definitely know where you're coming from, and that's what it really truly takes.
IndyCar.
She's the newest IndyCar Series winner, Danica Patrick.
I know. Yeah, let's do it.
Formula One.
From the driver's perspective, David Hobbs.
To not have a race in North America, to me, is frankly appalling.
Sports cars.
He's been unstoppable in the factory Corvettes, Johnny O'Connell.
It's very cool to be talking to you this time all the way from Le Mans, France.
And NHRA drag racing.
NHRA funny car champ, John Force.
Big money, all the money's here. It's just a race everybody wants to win.
WFO Radio is Total Motorsports.
Bring it on.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition. And drop the hammer. Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio Ignition. And any new listeners out there, stick around. You are getting ready to rock and roll. We got all kinds of great stuff covering the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. We're going to talk some Formula One. We got big stories to get into. Penalties diminished for Penske, for Joe Gibbs, all kinds of changes up and down. We're going to recap Talladega. We got it all going on. We're going to make our picks for the Bojangles Southern 500. Myself, the great Giovanni in Miami, Bob Smith, Tommy Noodles. We've got a great show for you. But first, the huge story of the week, the mantra story, the story that shocked the world, the story that impressed everyone, the story that everybody is talking about, the unveiling and usage of NASCAR's Air Titan. At Talladega Super Speedway, yes, the Air Titan was finally put in use, and wow, the world is different. The sun is rising in the west and setting in the east. This thing has changed the game when it comes to drying the track.
Definitely. But has it really? It took 3 hours and 45 minutes to get back to racing.
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea whether or not the Air Titan was effective or not. There's a lot of controversy about even going back racing. All I know is they barely got it in, and without the Air Titan, they wouldn't have got it in. Right?
I would have to agree.
Maybe. We don't even know.
They claim that the Air Titan dries the track X amount faster.
Percentage. 30%.
20%. So if it did not dry the track that much faster, they wouldn't have been able to go back to racing.
If
as
it was
is, it was borderline.
If it was 10% quicker.
Oh, it's a lot more than that, according to them.
If it was only 10% quicker, the Air Titan is the only reason we got the race in. And if the drivers are complaining about restarting with it being too dark, they can also blame the Air Titan. Look, all I'm saying is we finally got to see the Air Titan. How cool. And also there was a big race, won by total shock underdog hero David Ragan. The Davids versus the Goliaths. Davids and Goliaths all around. And typically, the David and Goliath story, I don't really like to use it. Because in real life, Goliath picks up David and bites his head off like a chocolate Easter bunny. 9 out of 10 times, that's what happens.
Like the hollowed ones?
Yeah.
And then the chocolate crumbles all over your hand? I don't like those.
Well, once the head is bitten off David, doesn't much matter what happens. Or the Easter bunny, nonetheless. But in this case, the Davids beat Goliath in awesome fashion, fair and square. Now, ask yourself, NASCAR fans.
Can this happen anywhere else?
Well, that is a good question. Can this happen anywhere else? And there's two ways to go. We can talk about it. We will talk about it. But isn't it nice to see that? Other teams with an opportunity to win. Isn't that a positive thing? Isn't this a great story? I think it is. I know who I was rooting for. I, of course, had my rooting interests, the Dale Juniors of the world and all, and who I was with, rooting for, rooting against. Very excited. I thought that the new car was a big improvement over Daytona. They have evolved it already. You can get a run. You can They were passing the leader. Things were happening, which is all exciting. But in the end, David Reagan and David Gilliland drove to the front, drove past all these big team cars, the Goliaths, so to speak, and beat them. And not just beat them, finished 1-2. That is absolutely huge for Front Row Motorsports, and a huge congratulations. Awesome. Now, we have to take a moment to discuss, can this happen anywhere else? And if not, what should be done? But first, let's hear from this weekend's Talladega Aaron's 499 winner, David Reagan, who has to be super pumped.
I didn't know at the time, but the 38, David Gillen, was hooked to my rear bumper. And so that gave me a little extra confidence coming out of turn two. We were probably running fourth or fifth at the time, that I could make the right moves, and I knew that he was going to stick with me. So the 99 was leading. I think he tried to block the 17, which allowed me a clean hole on the bottom. So I went low. Carl, I guess, didn't see me coming quick enough, or we had such a fast run. I was able to get position on him, and I don't know still to today, you know, how the 38 had such a good run, and he was just pushing me.
Confidence and motivation are the keys to success. And he went out there and got it done. And it just at the end of the race, you have to smile. You have to say, well, awesome. Here's a guy who had an opportunity, who lost the opportunity, and has now elevated a team. Take a moment to think how big this win is for that team. Of course,
first and second.
Finances. I don't know how much they're rolling out of there with, probably $500,000. But then you get in all the winners programs and all the NASCAR bonus money, winner programs, all of that stuff from this one win. That is going to help them so much, which was huge. David Gilliland finished second.
Got hooked up with Reagan there and just stayed glued to his bumper and kind of worked our way up through there and came home 1-2 for Front Row Motorsports. So huge day, obviously. For any team to get first and second, but for Front Row Motorsports and our little team, and what we do it with is we're really proud of that.
They should be. A huge win. Now, we're going to get into all the different angles and ins and outs and ups and downs. I have my thoughts. I would love to hear yours. 954-889-6796. Whatever you got regarding the race, call it in this week. It works just like a voicemail, but the Davids take down the Goliaths. Now, Goliath number one, the best of the Goliaths, was Carl Edwards, who came home third.
David just got us. I mean, he just did it. And of course he raced me clean. I mean, it's Talladega, and as long as I'm not upside down in the fence, I think it was pretty clean. I don't know how you define clean here, but he did his job. He raced me as hard as he could have raced me without wrecking me. I don't think either one of us could have tried any harder without being wrecked, and he got me. So he earned the win.
Carl Edwards came home third. Michael Waltrip was fourth. Jimmy Johnson fifth. Regan Smith sixth. I thought Regan was going to give it a run. Martin Truex Jr. seventh. Matt Kenseth eighth. Scott Speed ninth. And Eric Almirola tenth. How about that top
That's
10?
That's a who's who of who's who.
Yeah. Who? It's not even a who's who. It's just a who?
And what about Kenseth leading at the green-white checkered? Ends up what, eighth?
Eighth.
Eighth. Wow.
What is the opposite of the Kevin Harvick nickname?
The choker.
He's the uncloser. He's
the opener.
Let's use that.
Well, he led the most laps.
Why? In several races this year.
And put us to sleep the whole beginning of the race.
That's it.
You could argue that.
The closer, Kenseth's the opener. Let it be so. I hereby decree the nickname of the Sandman is now added to with the nickname the opener. What he's opening, that's up to you. But there have been several races where Kenseth hasn't gotten the finish and he's dominated.
You're like the opening band. When you go to the concert, there's always an opening band.
If Harvick's the closer, Kenseth has to be the opener. That's the kind of stuff you get here on WFO Radio. Jeff Gordon was 11th, David Stremme 12th, Ricky Stenhouse 13th. And the big one right there at the end that brought out the green-white checker with six to go. Kurt Busch lands on Ryan Newman in a crash that was obviously very, very rough. neither an in-car camera in Kurt Busch or Ryan Newman's car, or did they just not want to show it to us? What do you think? I think they just didn't want to show you what it's like to have a 3,400-pound stock car land on top of the other. I was waiting for that in-car. I don't know what the answer is. I'm just speculating, which is
I'm going to say they didn't have it, dude. They would be all over it. They would want to show it a gazillion times over and over and over.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
If it bleeds, it leads.
It, what a spectacular thing. And then Ryan Newman gets out of the car and just attacks. Who was he attacking? Was he attacking Ricky Stenhouse or was he attacking J.J. Yaley or both?
No. He attacked NASCAR.
But he mentioned...
He said, they and we shouldn't have gone back to racing. It was too dark and we got what they wanted. And I think the they... And then he left it very vague. You figure out who the they is, he says. But I think they was... The big guys in charge, not any of his competitors. They don't have the power to make that kind of decision.
It was an optimistic move by Ricky Stenhouse, to say the least, to squeeze his car in a space where he's, see, it's just
You know
terrible.
What's the worst, too? Danica trying to like, oh, Ricky tried to go four wide and the 34 car blocked him and caused a wreck.
No, see, that's terrible. Ricky is used to putting himself in tight places.
I'll see.
And tried to squeeze in there on the outside, and it didn't quite work out. What are you
He didn't
do?
Fit out there, dude.
The day that Ricky Stenhouse and Danica Patrick are racing wheel-to-wheel, though, at a place like Talladega, it's going to be a funny story. I mean, fun story. Not funny. Fun. And exciting. Keselowski was angry at the race. He tweeted that it was blatantly wrong, and he was mad as hell about the finish, but then he...
Then he retracted his tweet.
He retracted it. Retract and detract, all of the above. Very happy for David Reagan. It's like, oh, well, David Reagan won. It's no big deal. He
no,
went
I
on
think
to say,
someone...
I owe David Reagan and his fans an apology. I place blame on David Reagan for the restart lineup confusion, but it wasn't his fault. Keselowski emphasized that he did not mean to detract from Reagan's win. With the multi-car wreck, the rain, and the impending darkness, it's easy to see how NASCAR could have made that mistake. It was a confusing time for us all. I want to send a sincere congratulations out to David Reagan. And that mistake, they were supposed to line up 10th when the 34 switched lanes before entering turn three.
It turns out NASCAR was on the radio and had informed them both, but Brad and his spotter didn't actually hear the
message. They were probably speaking.
Yapping.
Getting ready.
But, yeah, what's real, the real thing there is that Brad knows it, and being the champion and being the voice that he has become,
yes,
he can't come out and make it seem like he attacked David Reagan, and it turns out it wasn't David Reagan's fault.
But he got new – see, I love that. He got new information. He realized he was wrong and immediately changed course.
No, that's good.
A lot of stubborn
but...
people would have just – stuck to their guns.
Agreed, but I would have preferred if him being, you know, the ambassador now had maybe just used a cooler head and been like, all right, you know what, even if I'm wrong here, we're not going to attack the day that the little guy wins.
Agreed.
That's just it.
But should they have gone back racing is the real question. Should they have gone back racing?
Yes, of course.
I totally agree.
Of course. It was great. The fact that they came back on, it was almost 7 o'clock in the evening. We got to cool down, relax.
All
we got that
drivers.
Prime time. First of all, they really should think about putting more of these races in the late evening prime time to end at that time. Maybe go from 4 to 7 instead of from 1 to 4.
First of
or
all,
what have you.
Let's cut 25% out of these races, because the drivers are the first to tell you it's meaningless. Sam Hornish Jr. was on Speed Report talking about, yeah, we normally just kind of get together in a little group and ride because there's really nothing to do. The excitement level of the second half of the race was through the roof.
Yes, and it wasn't even the second half. It was just what that hour and a half that they came back to 60
laps.
Something. Yeah,
it was
so a third, the last third of the race.
I'm not saying it should only be a third, but I'm saying that there is somewhere between that and the full length of the race that would elevate the excitement. I know you're all thinking, yeah, but we would be getting less, but you would be getting more. at the same time.
Think of how exciting that whole last 60-lap segment was when they came back and the drivers weren't quite sure how long the race was going to go, if it was going to rain again or not rain again. So they were just going at it. They went all out for 60 laps.
Yes.
It was awesome.
That's how it's supposed to be.
That's the way at least the whole second half of the race should be. No one wants them to just ride around for 400 laps, man.
Well, and that's what they do. And you would you sacrifice the Sandman leading the pack around for the first half of the race to get more racing like the second half of the race?
Absolutely.
I would too. Now, would TV do it? Would NASCAR do it? Would the fans paying for their ticket do it? You know, they're ready to go to a race and sit for 3 hours, and instead they would only be sitting for 2 hours and 10 minutes. But I would do it. I would make that trade. I think it would change the racing. You want to go from 43rd to first? Well, you better do it quick. That's all. Not even quick. Just quicker. Anyway, we got a lot to get into. The big penalties for Penske and Joe Gibbs Racing have been reduced. And we'll give you the results of that. Talk a little bit more about Talladega. Preview Darlington. Get into Formula One. Mention IndyCar in Brazil. Hinchtown wins again. Plus, I've got some stories from being in Atlanta, GA. This past weekend.
At the Omni.
At the Omni. I dropped an Omni joke last night on Nitro, and I don't know how well it was received. But I know the Ignition crowd knows about all the old school Omni stuff.
Do you think they
didn't
pick it up?
Maybe. Some do.
It was like 6'2"?
Maybe. Well, it doesn't have to be 6'2" to go over my head. But come on. The old school wrestling all happened at the Omni in Atlanta, GA. And if you're going to great sporting venues in the ATL, name them. There was Fulton County Stadium, which was closed and barred and wrecked by the New York Yankees in 1996, which they just buried the place and it's over. Right?
That's where the Falcons used to play, too.
The final memory of Fulton County Stadium was the New York Yankees.
See ya!
Winning and celebrating and then going back to New York to win Game 6 in 1996. The Omni. And that's really it. But I did spend some time in Atlanta, GA. Then the big Kentucky Derby this past week. You know, normally we talk about the Derby on the show. We didn't get to it because I was traveling like a madman. But I did hit for my third consecutive Kentucky Derby. But that isn't even the best part of the story. And we'll hear from Tommy Noodles with Tommy Time. Rich York, the Hippy Tippy, which I expect to be destroyed, maybe not, because I didn't start a B driver.
Wow, that's not good.
How about that? How terrible.
I mean, it's one thing to not start a C driver, but a
you
B
understand.
Driver.
I know. You understand. I had Vickers, and I did not make the change.
Whew.
And then I was not near the internet, and I was trying to log on, and it wasn't happening, and I failed. Boom, boom, boom.
Joe's going to be dropping the anchor.
Oh, man. But I'm not the only one. A lot of people lost their drivers. And so what's the difference between 0 and 4?
10.
For finishing near the end, near the back of the pack. So we'll get into all of that, plus the tailgate party pick show, where we pick against the Vegas odds. We got all that and more coming up. Do want to remind everybody, if you are looking for the ultimate bucket list experience, check out Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. You want to learn to drive a dragster, you want to become a racer, you want to be a world champ, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School is the place to do it. Check out the banner ad on the front page of WFOradio.com. Click it, look around, more information there. You will love it. That's Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School.
This is WFO Radio. This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals. Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman. Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Android and iPhone users, for the full version of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now. Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
I want to say a big welcome and hello to all the new listeners out there. The WFO Radio app has been just flying off the shelves. Turns out, Giovanni, I'm going to give you a little lesson in marketing that you should put in your back pocket and remember for the future. People,
let me have it.
People like things that are free, that they do not have to pay for.
No way.
Yep.
I don't believe that.
I know.
It can't be.
You wouldn't. And yet we're proving it with WFO Radio.
Why would I want something for free when I could pay for it?
Just 99 cents, you would think. It's nothing, right? But we have clearly proven that free is the way to go. And I'll let you behind the curtain. 131 different people downloaded the WFO Radio app on Sunday.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. It's flying off the shelves like gangbusters because it's free. And if you're a new listener on the app, well, welcome to you. We try to have fun on the Ignition Show. On the Nitro Show, we speak with the stars of the NHRA Mellow Yellow and Lucas Oil series. And this week, we had Tim Wilkerson, Funny Car Driver, and Jay Blake on the show. Also, get this, behind-the-scenes dugout audio from the NHRA versus NASCAR softball game that was a couple of weeks ago. And we've been on the road past couple of weeks, waiting for the big rainout night that happened, and sure enough, we were able to put it in there. Courtney Force doing color commentary while I did play-by-play. Interviews with Casey Kane, Darrell Waltrip, Kurt Busch, Michael Waltrip, Tony Schumacher, Antron Brown, Bob Vandergriff, Del Worsham, Clay Milliken, and you are in the winning dugout. So check out the Nitro Show for that. Now, back to Talladega, and what does it all mean? What does it all mean that we have got two tracks, the restrictor plate tracks, that are traditionally the highest rated, number one, number two, the most level playing field?
Clearly.
Clearly. And yet many drivers do not want to race there, or there's always a story. What are we going to do about Daytona and Talladega? Years ago, Ed Hinton used to advocate for removing the banking and turning it into basically a flat 2.5 mile oval so the drivers would have to slow down.
That doesn't work.
It definitely diminishes the NASCAR image of three wide stacked 10 deep up there on the Talladega banking. It just diminishes that. My attitude has always been FFRR, Fans for Restrictor Plate Racing. And my answer is this. You've got a track where all of the drivers that are at your peak level pretty much have a shot, number one. Number two, Danica Patrick showed earlier this year that with some competent driving and moves, you can stay up there. David Ragan and David Gilliland just proved that with a little teamwork, even underfunded teams like Bob Jenkins, Front Row Motorsports, can crack into victory lane. So what do you do? Is this either A, the type of track that underskilled drivers who really don't belong can steal a victory from the big dog Goliaths of the world, Hendrick Motorsports and Penske and Roush, Or is it the kind of place where driver ability and, yeah, even a little luck factor in and the playing field is level? Well, I guess that's up to each person to decide.
I guess it's a little of both, but I would go way, way, way far from suggesting that because some of the lesser known and lesser funded teams have won recently at these plate tracks, that these guys are any less qualified.
But isn't that
that may be
naturally
the layman's person's perception?
Yes. How can Danica Patrick go to a track and run in the top five all day and finish in the top 10 in one of her first races there, in one of her first full-time races in the Sprint Cup Series? How is that possible if it's not ultimately easier and requires less skill? How can a guy, David Reagan and David Gillen, two guys that never quite made it, outcasts from big teams, failed projects in one case, go there and race right to the front and win in the remaining laps?
All right, I'm going to speculate here, but I'm going to assume that, number one, these smaller teams are aggressively putting a little more effort into these plate tracks because they know they have more of a chance, number one. But the fact is that this kind of racing has provided for more people to be on the lead lap at the end of the race. And that's really what gives more of the drivers a chance to win and more of those underdog-type drivers. The fact is that the underfunded teams on some of the intermediate speedways just don't have enough horsepower to keep up with the big boys, period. But the plate and the fact that 30 to 35 teams are on the lead lap with one lap to go kind of levels the playing field, almost like when it's a sloppy track or it's raining at the ballpark or at the football field, the speed can be a little bit diminished.
It just dulls the best of the best ever so slightly. And so what is the solution? What is the solution? I have a solution, and I'm going to present
you
it right
now. You want to get rid of plate racing?
Well, I think that's what a lot of people might think. But I'm going in the other direction. I say build more. This is what NASCAR should be.
That's thinking outside the box.
Yes. This is what NASCAR should be. If NASCAR really wants to excel, advance, and take over a position in the American world of sports that is currently occupied by the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA, if they want to be there, they need more of what we saw at Talladega. They need more of what we saw at Daytona. They need more drivers than Jimmy Johnson and Matt Kenseth and a couple of guys from three different teams to be able to win. They need an element of unpredictability. They need every race coming down to final chaos that happens in the final 10 laps. They need all of those things. And Daytona and Talladega, restrictor plate tracks, especially with the new car, provide that. 15 cars on the lead lap, one putting a 2 and 3 second, 5 second gap on the field. Here they come. Second place. Third, fourth, fifth. 10th through 20th. Not interesting to the layman. Not interesting to the new sports fan, mainstream sports fan. Not interesting to the casual American out there. Maybe interesting to most racing fans, and yet I wonder, the ratings are always highest at Daytona and Talladega. So even the racing fans, the ratings are not always the same.
No.
If all the racing fans were always equally interested in all the different tracks and all the different disciplines, the ratings would be just about the same every week.
Right. They'd just be flat across the board.
For the most part. But they are not. Some races are high and some races are low and short tracks and Bristol and they're all over the place. So even the most devout racing fans have preferences. And Daytona and Talladega consistently prove to be the fan favorites.
And I think also those type of racing, plate racing and those two tracks in general, attract non-hardcore fans, regular mainstream type fans that get a little more involved
because they see that the racing
is a lot more close. They don't see the 43 cars strung out in the line playing follow the leader.
If Danica Patrick is the biggest personality in the sport and the key to all of that, does she have a chance to win at Charlotte? No.
Not really.
Probably not. Maybe.
Hey, she did outrun her boss at Martinsville.
Yes. Yes, maybe. But she definitely is in the mix right now at Daytona and Talladega. And David Ragan and David Gilliland. And look, Dale Jr. went to the back. Guys who are great at it, they have the opportunity, but they failed. Dale Jr. clearly failed.
Hey, Matt Kenseth went from first to eighth, one lap.
You don't know what's going to happen. Now, someone might say, well, he was the best car. Well, if you want to do best car, let's put him on the clock.
Best car doesn't always win.
Exactly. And what is exciting is when the best car doesn't win. So let's now get into it. Which tracks need to be high banked? I got two right off the top of my head I'm ready to throw out. Ready?
Hit
one,
me.
California.
Oh, definitely.
2 mile high banked restrictor plate track. Let's do it now. And you will have this kind of exciting racing.
If you build it, they will come.
That immediately adds two more races. You know, now some people are going to freak out when I say this. I got another one.
Oh, boy. And if you're going to cause a stir, here we go. Here we go.
Stir in the pot.
All right.
Pocono.
Oh, wow.
It's ready.
But it's the opposite of that. It's a flat track right now.
And right now, everybody, what do they do? Pocono. It's a real insider's race. It's a triangle. It's a
hey,
roval.
They cut back 100 laps, 100 miles.
They had to
whatever.
Cut it back. People are falling asleep in the stands. It's one car way out there, leading by 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Denny Hamlin is just dominating the race. It's just endless, just a drone of cars passing. By the way, I like it. I'm just talking about elevating the series. What do we have? We've got the layout already there, except it will just be a big triangle. Let's turn it into a high bank plate track and really get this new NASCAR thing going. New car, new NASCAR, Danica Patrick winning races, David Ragan. You never know who's going to win. It's total excitement, total ratings, total chaos. It's out of control NASCAR in Joe's future world.
Woo!
I like it. And on that note, it is now time for Tommy Time.
Hey, it's that time of week again where I get to do Tommy Time. And this week, I am absolutely shocked that no one was penalized for something. It seems as if every single week now, somebody is being penalized. So you just have to keep looking and looking and seeing. And then, you know, you had Ryan Newman, who had an opinion, and you had Brad Keselowski talking about, you know, restarts. You had all kinds of stuff. You had two of the smaller teams, you know, well, I guess one of the smaller teams out front with two of them, and no one was fined. That's crazy to me. I don't understand it. But somehow they snuck by, and no one was fined this week. But that's because someone must have been sleeping, you know, and NASCAR penalized Red Truck or whatever they call it these days. But I was glad to see that there wasn't a silly fine. That's my rant this week. Maybe I'll be fine from ranting. I don't know. But somehow Ryan Newman got away with it. Shocking. I will see you next week with a new rant.
And there you have it, Tommy Time. Comedian Tommy Noodles, everyone's favorite funny man, giving his rant on what happened this week. Rant. That word rant. You rant. You don't say you're going to rant. You just rant. You're like, I'm about to rant. Here comes my rant. I do it too, Lou. Speaking of penalties, the chief appellant officer of NASCAR has upheld the fines and points penalties that were originally assessed for Penske, but has reduced the suspensions of the 7 team members from 6 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series championship points events, plus the non-points NASCAR Sprint All-Star Race to 2 Sprint Cup Series championship points events, plus the non-points NASCAR Sprint All-Star Race. The 7 team members from Penske in question will be suspended for the next 3 upcoming NASCAR Sprint Cup Series races, Darlington, Charlotte, and then the following week at Dover. They remain on probation until December 31st. And the quote is, after looking at all the facts and data interpretations from the rule book, I have decided to uphold the original fines and points penalties, said John Middlebrook. who is the chief appellant officer. However, I have decided to reduce the suspensions of the 17 members involved from 6-point races and the All-Star race to 2-point races and the All-Star race. That on the Penske side of the world. And then on the Joe Gibbs Racing side of the world regarding Matt Kenseth, the amendments are as follows. Crew Chief Jason Ratcliffe, the $200,000 fine remains intact, but NASCAR suspension now covers one championship points event. In addition, he will be placed on NASCAR probation until the completion of the next 3 championship points events following his reinstatement. Got that? Plus car owner Joe Gibbs, the loss of championship owner points has been reduced to 12. That is big.
That's huge. That puts Kenseth right back up in the top 5,
huge, I think. Huge. All other components of his penalty were rescinded. Driver Matt Kenseth's loss of championship driver points has been reduced to 12. All other components of his penalty were rescinded. So that's like 2/3 of the points he got back.
Does he get the win, though? Remember, that win wasn't counting towards the wins in the chase. That's still...
Well... He loses 12 points, so you could count those points as the win points. You
no,
count
but
those
do you not understand what I'm saying? He had lost the bonus points.
Which is only 5 positions.
No. If you win a race during the regular season,
points.
You get a bonus 3 points or something like that at the end in the chase. And he has technically won 2 races, but they said that only one was counting towards the chase.
That is interesting. The loss of NASCAR manufacturer points, it is not mentioned here.
That's big. That's a big one because right now, well, it doesn't matter anymore because he's back in the top 10.
And
I was concerned because remember he had fallen out of the top 10 and he only had 1 win instead of 2.
Top 20 or top 10?
No, he had fallen out of the top 10 and then between 10 and 20 you take the guy with the most wins.
Right.
And he technically had 2 wins but they were only giving him credit for 1.
So the question is, are they going to give him credit for the win if he finishes outside of the top 10?
Correct.
And that is not indicated.
But I guess it doesn't really matter right now because he's back in the top 10 when they give him back his points.
That is a temporary thing.
Right.
That is fleeting. It may go one way, it may go the other. So we need to get to the bottom of that. What if? But my answer is just off the cuff with no backing it up is that they're going to give him the win. He loses 12 points. And he will get the win, and the win counts as a win, and there you go. And so even if he finishes in the top 10, that win will count. And if he finishes outside of the top 10, it will count.
Okay.
Because if it wasn't going to count, I think that they would have written it here in the assessment.
Agreed.
Or perhaps an oversight, nonetheless. So there you go. You are now up to speed on everything, and I thought Dega was exciting and great. I don't want to take racing away from all of us. I just want to make it better. And when Sam Hornish is up there on Speed Center basically telling you they're not racing, they're just riding, it makes me think of the analogy that I have been talking about a lot lately when trying to explain NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing to non-racing fans, which is this. You all know track and field because we grow up at high schools and high schools have tracks. We also all know the Olympics. And even if you're a devout football fan and you hate car racing because you don't understand it, you do understand track and field. You understand it. You've been exposed. Every girl out there in the world who may have not know the difference from a carburetor and a transmission knows about the track and the field at their high school.
Yeah, I guess we all took laps and
we
ran
all made
PE
a lap and we all know about it.
Marched and yada yada.
Especially we all watch the Olympics. What would you rather watch? The 4,000 or 10,000 meter run or the 100 meter dash? That's the question. And the answer is 98 out of every 100 people are going to say the 100 meter dash. You want to see Usain Bolt or Carl Lewis or Ben Johnson as roided up as Ben Johnson was? Or do you want
but
to see
that's simple.
The
why?
Guy from Kenya running? And why? Because they're pacing themselves. They're pacing. And pacing is not cool. No one wants to see pacing. People want to see WFO. That's what they want to see. Not getting with someone and riding to click off a bunch of laps until it's time to go. And now it's time to go, maybe, but maybe we should pace it, hold it back, maybe somewhat. Okay, now it's time, go! Ding, 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 and they're coming down, and now down the stretch they come. People don't like that.
No, there's a reason why the guy that runs the 100 is the fastest man in the world, not the guy that runs the mile.
This is very difficult to dispute. And which is NASCAR and which is drag racing? What about Formula One? Formula One is an hour, is 90 minutes, but it's a sprint. There is
They're
no
going
pace.
All out for their 90 minutes. They don't let anyone go by and with the thought, oh, right, we're only 10 laps in, I'll catch you at the next one.
Never.
That doesn't happen.
So what I am advocating is this. Cutting out as much of the riding, of the pacing, of the getting there, of the cruising as possible, and still retaining the core that is NASCAR. We saw it following the rain delay. We saw it. That's what it could be like. Furious and fast, not riding. When Horner says he's out there riding, and the nationwide race was a bit controversial as well, I thought it was interesting, Regan Smith winning the race. I get it, they throw the caution. Rhyme or reason as to why they throw the caution this time and not when Mark Martin and Kevin Harvick were streaking to the checkered flag at the Daytona 500, is your guess is as good as mine. They obviously felt like it was different. The judgment calls are for NASCAR to make.
Well, you know, if you want to argue for NASCAR, the start-finish line is at a different place in Talladega than it is at Daytona. That's the only thing I can say, that it's much further at Daytona, and you can argue that maybe the drivers are closer to coming back around on the wreck another 2.6 miles, but...
Who knows?
I just think they're a little bit inconsistent, and just pick a side and stick with that one.
As best as you can to make the call.
It just, you know, it makes us think that somebody's back there, wink, wink, nod, nod, going, yeah, wait a minute, Mark Martin, I don't really like him that much. Let's see what happens.
Or we want to give the fans a show. They've had a tough day. They've been waiting all day long. Remember that, the Daytona 500. That was Monday Night NASCAR or whatever it was. And, oh, this is just the nationwide race. We got the big race tomorrow. Throw the caution. Keep everybody safe. Every situation is a bit different. But that was interesting. All right, when we come back, we're going to catch up with the Fantasy League, talk a little Formula One, and keep on rolling. Plus, we got our picks later on in the show. Stick around right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio. This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThunderValleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Hey, this is Carlos, WFO Radio producer. When you're done watching all the great videos, which I made, on the WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, head over to the WFOradio.com store for some really hot WFO radio gear, like the WFO radio hat, which is now only $15. WFO New Era hats are on sale. Get a hat for your dad, get a hat for your head, or a sticker kit for your truck. WFO radio gear is on sale at WFOradio.com. Get some.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but
I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Throughout history, man has marveled at the vast complexity of the universe. Without a single unified voice, humanity has been left searching for answers to the unknown. Now, one man has the power to change that and to spread his voice across the earth for all of mankind to hear. One man.
Hey, this is Dylan Hart Jr., and you're listening to Joe Costello on WFO Radio.
Cruising through our Ignition show here on WFO Radio. Big thanks to everyone who's stopped by the website, WFOradio.com, and checks out the site each day. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe, subscribe. How about that Bristol Dragway? Father's Day weekend, that's going to be kind of cool. Get on out there. I've been to Bristol, Thunder Valley. It is great. The next race I will be at will be in Topeka, Kansas, next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend with the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. So come on out. If you're in Topeka, you're in that area, come on out and yell, WFO! And I'll stop by. We'll do a tweet up. We got any listeners out there in the Topeka area? Sound off. Tweet me. Send an email. We'll figure it out. I hear there's great steakhouses out there. I'm ready for that. I mentioned earlier approximately how much money the front row team would make. Reagan got $373,108. Gilliland got $192,816.
Ooh, over half a million.
So over a half a million dollars. That's not bad.
That's better than a start in park, let me tell you.
Better than a sharp stick in the eye. And certainly. Now, Darlington this weekend. The Lady in Black. The track that is too tough to tame. And I've always said, if you got two nicknames for a track, it's a good track. This is one of my favorite tracks. This is not FFRR. And I do not advocate high-banked ovals on oval plate racing here. Because this track has its own character, which is great in and of itself. It produces great finishes, and it's very fast right now since the repave a couple of years ago, but it's going to slowly but surely work its way back to what it was. Tires matter, and that is a cool thing. Jeff Gordon making his 700th consecutive start, just 88 starts away from Ironman Ricky Rudd's record. That's a couple of seasons, three seasons, Jeff will be doing it. Think Jeff's going to hang around for three more seasons?
Yeah. He wants to see...
Consecutive?
He wants the kids to watch him race.
I agree. But always great, and Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, Ma, and everybody out there who has a mother, whose mothers are out there. If there are any mothers, listen to... How is our female listenership, Gio? Do we have female listeners out there? We used to do the ladies' night on the satellite show. We had a lot of female listeners out there. But since we went to the online format, I don't think the online format is quite as sexy for the lady listeners out there.
Yeah, I don't think we're trending really high with the female demographic right now.
I know we've got a lot of ladies in our fantasy league, which I will be giving the results to in a moment. But I don't know about the actual weekly listenership. Now, some might say it's because it's the devices or the online aspect of it. I don't know. But I like to think we're balanced when it comes to our programming. It can be consumed by the ladies. Just
absolutely. We're in touch with our feminine side.
Yes, definitely. And here are this week's fantasy results. The weekly winner following the Aaron's 499.
Dude, who really cares? How's Black Ice doing? And how's he doing in the overall standings? That's the only thing that really matters.
Well, Black Ice was sixth overall this week.
In our league.
Made the top 10, but that's still a very strong performance with 298. Do you have the information?
Of course I do.
Let's get a black... And now, with your Black Ice...
Breaking news! Black Ice has shot to the top like a rocket ship. He is second overall this week. Second overall, up eight positions from 10th to second overall, only behind the Mountain Bears. I almost said Mountain Bears.
So wait a second. Hold on. Let me see if I can wrap my arms around this. And if you're a first-time listener or new to the show, we have the WFO Radio Fantasy Leagues, and we invite our listeners to join. And Black Ice, one of our listeners, is currently doing the unpredictable, unexplainable, the illogical. He is second.
Second.
Out of hundreds of thousands, if
millions,
not millions.
Gazillions of people.
Everybody that does Yahoo Fantasy League.
Correct. Overall in all the Yahoo leagues. Not
How
just
many points
our little
is he
league.
Out?
He's 52 points back.
Who is this Mountain Beers guy?
I don't know. He's up four spots, so he was fifth.
That's the thing, is Black Ice. All he's got to do is
Ice
lead
is
overall.
He's got to maintain his...
Wow.
Yeah, Black Ice, way to go, buddy.
The pressure.
Keep it up.
Yeah, we're all behind you now. This is huge.
This is great for the... This elevates us all.
It really does. I don't even know how to react. We're going to have to send a tweet about it, congratulating Black Ice, which we will do right at the conclusion of this show. Jerry Shepardini won the week, though, 326. Gnar was second. He was on the Facebook page bragging. Hey, Gnar, do that on the WFO page. My personal friends don't care about your fantasy team, but the WFO page does.
Oh, this has got to be an error here. Look who came in third.
The Night Kids, Vladdy. Father Time's Troopers was fourth. Hockey Kid, fifth. Way to go, Hockey
well,
Kid.
He's beating the crap out of Hockey Dad,
whooping
remember.
Your dad. Black Ice, sixth. Sacramento Racing Fans, seventh. JG, 24. LKB, eighth. Patrick's NASCAR Rubbin. I saw Patrick in Atlanta a couple weeks ago. We did not talk about fantasy racing. I really wish I had. I would have applied the pressure. Aviator Racing, Gray Bear Racing, and the Republicans tied for eighth.
Hey,
ninth.
The Republicans making a furious making comeback. A Do you know who they've hit. Almost caught?
No.
The Red Suns.
What?
They are within a mere less than 200 points of the Red Suns.
The Red Suns are doomed. They're consumed by their own trivia. The Red Suns were the Red Suns had a starter failure on their personal car this week and were using a forklift to jack up the car to replace the starter. What do we think about that? The Red Suns. Is that acceptable?
No, not acceptable
use
at all.
Use a forklift? I don't know. It just doesn't sound like a good idea. But maybe.
You know what it sounds like to me? An accident waiting to happen.
That's what I said. I don't think you're supposed to use a forklift.
Remember, I have owned a forklift before.
Do they just? Is it possible for them to just go slamming down?
No, not really. But it's metal. It's just a couple of metal forks. It's not the safest thing for you to just be lifting a car.
I felt like you could damage the car.
Yes. If you're not a good forklift driver, you could cause serious damage.
Well, not only that, you've got the steering rack. You've got sway bars.
And there's a lot of stuff that you don't want that metal fork just crushing and lifting. God knows what it could do.
Well, the Red Suns are near the bottom. Most points of the week was Jerry Shepardini, 326. The biggest gainer was Gnar. Way to go, Gnar. Biggest loser. Hello, Bob Smith. Down 19. And the Elephant Racers, Don, down 19. We'll hear from Bob Smith coming up a little bit later.
The Elephant Racers, that's terrible. That guy is normally up near the top of the competition.
Thank God for them, because I didn't start my B driver and was going to have a tough week. Overall leader, Black Ice by 243 points.
Stretching it out.
First to eclipse the 3,000 barrier. Millerman 2 Brian, a very competitive second. Team 14, third. Team 29. They are friends. They are buddies. They are now in competition. It is the Thunderdome between the two of them.
Oh, you know who those two are.
Yes, they posted on my Facebook page. And I don't have it in front of me, but they are there.
Look at Laws.
And what we should do is whoever finishes second between the two of them is banned from the league.
We just want to ban people, huh?
Well, no, you know,
Tommy just wants everybody to get a fine every week in NASCAR, and we just want to ban people.
It's like the old Roman Empire, where you're forcing people to fight
thumbs
each
up
other.
Or thumbs down.
That's it. Team
That's
14,
it.
Team 29.
In the Coliseum.
Death duel. Thunderdome. Two men enter, one man leaves. Loser is out of the WFO League forever. Wouldn't that make the WFO League just so much more entertaining? If we just started pitting people against each other.
You are banished from the league.
Los Chincones, fifth. Eat My Dust, sixth. Hockey Dad, seventh. Aviator Racing, eighth. Kyle Means Petty, ninth. And DRT 99, 10th. Brian in Louisiana, 11th. Rich and Saugus, 12th. Big Mike, 13th. Patrick's NASCAR Rub in 14th. Mrs. Dirty Hippies down 7. What happened?
Oh, they're moving or something.
They are moving. They just moved in. It just goes to show you when you have other things in your life, it affects your fantasy play. It really does. Jerry Shepardini was up 12. The Man in Brown was down 2 to 21st. Let's see. Dirty Hippies down 4, 26. Gnar blew his doors off, passed him. Clearside down 5, 28th. Car Acrobatic Team up 7, 29. Mominator 30th. Let's see. Hockey Kid up 13 to 34th.
Way to go. Catch that, dude. Catch that.
Hooper, so you can have 36. Noodles Motorsports, 37th. Tom's Sweet Cat, 40th. Gray Bear, 42nd. Geo, 45th, down 4. Let's see. Hello, Bob Smith, down to 49th. X90 Racing, that's Mattman, 50th, down 9 or 8. WFO Joe, down 1, 54. So I didn't fall
that
much. Not
bad, you held pretty strong there.
I'm ahead of Kramer Power. I passed Kramer Power by failing to start a B driver. That tells you a little bit about Kramer Power. And Money Man, down 2. Unable to pass me, even though I did not start a B driver. Team English down, Eastern Competition down. The Republicans are closing in on the Red Suns. Wow. What are you going to do? And there you have it. And on that note, now that we have done our Aaron's $4.99 Fantasy Report, it's time for this week's Dirty Hippie, the only three-time WFO Fantasy League champion, report.
This is the Dirty Hippies with your tip of the week. Geo, you still suck. You will continue to suck. There's nothing you can do about it. You just suck in general. This week, I did find all the charts and graphs, but I cannot find my markers anywhere, so I'm still kind of lost. But go with Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, and Greg Biffle as your drivers this week.
He picked the whole team. How about that for an abbreviated hippie tip? He spent 40% of it telling Gio how much he stinks. See, I don't like you.
Why does he attack me always like this? Like I'm some kind of punching bag for this guy.
Clearly you are. He just likes taking shots at you. And the word suck, I don't like using it. We have a family program here.
Yeah, he should say absorbs or something.
Yes, stinks, not cool, weak, lame. Pathetic, not knowledgeable.
Crappy.
Crummy, crappy. All of these things could be used to describe Geo instead of the word suck.
Wait a minute. Hold on. This isn't... How did this turn into a bash Geo segment?
We're not talking about bashing Geo. We're talking about synonyms.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Joseph.
Yes.
Thank you.
This is not
I greatly appreciate this.
It's not about you personally. Rich is making it personal.
This is great.
I'm talking about using words that are not so crass and offensive when describing Geo.
No problem, dude.
Things that are more thinned out. Well, all right. Now let's move on into the world of Formula One and IndyCar. Regarding the IndyCar series, they were down in Brazil. It was a very successful race. Takuma Sato is the man taking care of his tires until the final lap. Final corner of the final lap and lost to Hinchtown, the big star, who was able to come back after getting some tires. And tire strategy was a big part of the race. But good to see the IndyCar race have another successful race down under. Hinchtown picking up the win. But now it's on to the big race. IMS, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
We get to spend the month in Indy.
Where Kurt Busch is testing an Andretti Autosport car.
Wow, Kurt trying to try his hand now at the IndyCar. He'll do anything. He'll drag race. He'll stock car race. He'll IndyCar.
I think he has seized the mantra of we'll drive anything from Tony Stewart. Because Tony talks about it, Kurt does it.
Tony doesn't get into the IndyCar, but he's out there driving sprint cars and doing all kinds of stuff throughout the week.
He's done sprint cars. He's done a Formula One car. What else?
He's got an IndyCar championship.
Yes. Kurt, but just in terms
of
just
racers, rings.
Listen, you're talking about 1,000 years ago, and you're talking about NASCAR.
It doesn't matter when you do
ages
it.
Ages ago.
He's moved on, man. He's conquered that world.
He hasn't won the Indianapolis 500, the biggest, most important single thing, points championship in the IRL, which was a kind of a, you know, people don't, for whatever reason, respect it. Buddy Lazier won the Indy 500. When it was IRL. I'm not running it down. I'm just talking about the way people consider it. What I'm saying to you is that when you look at the resume of Kurt Busch, he has driven a Champ car. He will now drive an Indy car at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He has driven an NHRA Pro Stocker, and he has driven a V8 supercar. That's pretty impressive.
It is very impressive.
He's got to get the Formula One car, maybe a Nitro car.
Wait till TS gets behind that top fuel dragster.
He's not going to do it.
Huh?
He's not going to do it. Tony Schumacher says he's going to do it, but he's not going to do it. That's my prediction.
TS?
Yeah. TS full of BS when it comes to that. I want to see it happen. But now on to Formula One, where the next race is in Spain in 3 days, depending on when you're listening to the show. And we're getting back into it. It's going to be wild. You got Vettel. Last race was Bahrain. Seb Vettel won. Kimi was second. Roman Grosjean third. Ferrari's looking to get going again. But the big story is Lewis Hamilton once again.
Lewis.
Once again, after their icy relationship at McLaren, kissing the buttocks of Fernando Alonso. Lewis Hamilton says, "It's funny, but the driver I admire most is Fernando for his sheer speed, his simply incredible speed. I don't think anyone can match him in the sport. Now I'm older and I'm sure we would have a different relationship. There would still be intense moments because we are both quick, so we would be very close to each other, but we've matured both a lot. I think I'm much better at nurturing relationships between teammates now. It depends on the drivers. Put Sebastian with Fernando and the team would be trouble straight away. The chemistry would just,
Wow, is someone trying to...
You know, I even think I could drive with Sebastian. I just wouldn't turn the engine down, he joked.
Hey, I like that. At least he's funny.
And so Lewis basically
God, is
said,
he shilling for that job or what? For the being in...
Well, you'd think he just signed with Mercedes, but he's leaving the door open. He wants to end up at Ferrari. He knows that every driver wants to drive. You can't be a real driver unless you've driven Ferrari at some point.
Come on, everybody. Everybody wants.
I think that's great, though. It does show a lot of maturity. They were butting heads at McLaren, and rightfully so. I understand it.
Yeah, but it was McLaren, really. It's their own fault. They brought in the hotshot free agent, and then they bumped up their own kid, and the guys clashed.
And they clashed.
They didn't.
Nobody knew who the number one was.
They didn't put any boundaries. They didn't.
Those are the breaks. All right, we got so much to do here, and it's time to make our picks segment. But I did want to, obviously, I got to throw some of my own personal stuff in there. Okay. First of all, last week we said we were going to make May, give away May, and we are. And here's how we're doing it. This show is available approximately 8 p.m. on Wednesday night. To make it fair to everyone who listens to the show on Thursday and Friday, between the hours of 7 p.m. Eastern on Friday, this Friday, what is the date on Friday, Gio?
10th.
Friday the 10th, between the hours of, yeah, check your phone. Don't just guess.
Today's if Wednesday today's the 8th.
Thursday's the 9th.
Friday's the 10th. It was.
Get ready. Here's what's going to happen, folks. Every other caller to the WFO radio call-in line to leave a message with your contact information, 954-889-6796. You don't have to write anything down. I got this figured up. I'm making it up
right now.
What did I say? 8 p.m.?
7 p.m.
Between
Friday.
7 and 8.
Oh, okay.
Every other caller between 7 and 8. I want to give them a window. It's not fair to tell them to do something now because people listen later in the week. So I'm putting this. Here's the deal. You will be leave your name and contact information, and you will be registered to play Smokey and the Bandit Trivia on a future show. We will call you back. We will invite you on, and we will present you with Smokey and the Bandit Trivia. Winners of Smokey and the Bandit Trivia will receive prize closet giveaways like this. Danny Griego CD, Cowboys, Outlaws, and Border Town Dogs, like an incredible Dale Earnhardt race brick keychain, like Sam Bass authentic NASCAR art, like Danica Patrick diecast, like what else do I have in there?
All kinds of hats and little diecast and cars and stuff.
Z-Max Dragway Victory Circle hats.
There you go.
Penske Motorsports Championship, Ford Championship Weekend, Champion Bag Gear,
Remember that? I got all kinds of crazy stuff that I've been collecting around here for exactly this day when we invented Smokey and the Bandit trivia. Does it sound fast and loose? Yes. Is it? Yes. Is that what makes it great? Yes. So, Gio, when should they call?
Friday night, 7 o'clock.
Between 7 and 8.
Is 1 hour a good, just, is
giving
that?
Giving them a window.
Okay.
And we'll see how savvy these people are. And they will call the WFO line and hopefully say something cool that we can use. And they'll give their name and contact information. And what I'm going to do is every other message. Every other message. And there's no way they could possibly know which one they are to rig the,
that is
the
great.
Deal.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, we know about people trying to rig the deal in radio promos.
No, there's no way to rig the deal. And it's just random. It's just random. And I will go through and I will take all those people and I'll put their names in a hat. We'll just start drawing them. One per week. For Smokey and the Bandit trivia. And we'll do the Smokey and the Bandit trivia game starting next week.
Well, all right.
Isn't that great? Now that that's out of the way, I got to tell everybody about the Kentucky Derby. Here's the deal. Was in Atlanta. Got rained out. Flew back to South Florida. And got here in time to make it out to my local paramutual, Pompano Park, for a little wagering. So from horsepower to horsepower. Was able to successfully predict the winner, Orb, for my third straight year of winning the Kentucky Derby. But due to some very complicated tips that I received from some people who you may or may not hear from on the show in a few minutes, professionals, I was in the hole pretty big, even with the win on Orb. But then I noticed this cute, attractive girl. And she was doing some sort of TV camera business at the winner's circle at the Pompano Park. And so I went up to her and I asked her, I was like, hey, I don't really understand this trotter racing. What gives? And she's tried to explain it to me and gave me some insight.
Trotter?
Trotters, you know, like the little cart behind trotters and pacers. Anyway, she invited me to participate in one of the games that they do in between innings at a baseball game, in between oil downs at a drag strip, in between races at the horse track. I was invited to make an attempt to putt a golf ball like 30 feet, like 50 feet for $125.
Wow.
Coincidentally, exactly the amount that I was down. So I stood up there. I had two shots. The first one rimmed out and the second one. Well, you can check out my Facebook page to see the result. But I just want to share with my family, if I can't brag, that I made a $125 putt with the whole world watching on TV, the entire simulcast world, all the degenerates out there at Aqueduct and Woodbine. They saw me sink a $125 putt to get back to even on the day, actually up. And you know, as a gambler, getting back to even, there's something special about it.
That is awesome. That's a great story, dude.
Yeah.
That is a great story.
Drive for show, putt for dough. I sunk the putt. And that's all I wanted to tell you. All right, when we come back, we're going to wrap this up with our tailgate party pick show. We'll be picking winners against the Las Vegas odds. Obviously, Forza Ferrari this weekend. Got Darlington Saturday night race. Great stuff. Don't forget, the app is free. Check out Bristol Dragway. Click the banner ad. Check out tickets. All kinds of big stuff. We'll be back with the Pick Show, Tommy Noodles, and Bob Smith when we return.
This is WFO Radio. This Father's Day, take Dad to the drag races. The Ford NHRA Thunder Valley Nationals, Father's Day weekend at Bristol Dragway. See John Force and his daughters Courtney and Brittany as they take on the field at drag racing's premier event. Tickets start at just $20 or get a weekend pass for only $79. Get $5 off if you order before June 9th. It's all happening June 14th to 16th at Bristol Dragway. Get your tickets at ThundervalleyTix.com or call 423-BRISTOL. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
You get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now. Tuesday nights on WFO Radio are all about Nitro. Join Joe at 7 p.m. Eastern each Tuesday night for the live edition of NHRA Tuesday, Nitro. Race winners stop by to talk about bringing home the Wally every Tuesday night following NHRA national events.
Tony Schumacher. Tony, welcome back.
Love being on the show because it usually meant that we did something absolutely amazing.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand anytime at WFORadio.com.
WFO.
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 Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO.
Take me to the action. Take me to the track. Take me to a party. If they're threatening in the back, I've been working all my life. Can't afford to wait. Let me call my wife so I can tell her I've been late. I want to ease
Vegas, baby, Vegas! Vegas, baby, Vegas. It's that time of the week once again where the WFO Radio Tailgate Party Handicappers break down the Las Vegas odds for this weekend's Bojangles Southern 500. Myself, the great Giovanni in Miami, professional Las Vegas odds maker Bob Smith, and comedian Tommy Noodles will make our picks. We make a favorite and a dark horse pick each week. The favorite's less than 15 to 1. The dark horse is 15 to 1 or greater. Giovanni, when was the last time you were to a Bojangles?
Never.
What do they sell at Bojangles?
Fried chicken.
It's what it is, fried chicken. If you had to choose between a Bojangles, a Popeyes, and a KFC, where would you go?
Wow, that's tough. That's tough. It depends. If it's that KFC that you get the buffet for like $5.99 all you can eat.
No, it's like a regular KFC.
Just regular? Then yeah. I think I'd have to go Popeyes, man.
I love that chicken at Popeyes.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
Listen, in D.C., everyone was going to Popeyes. But Bojangles, I would love to try them too.
And I think I've eaten there before, but I can't recall the last time. I mean, years.
Well, now that I'm on the road, I am trying all these crazy different fast food places. The other day, I had some Jack in the Box.
I love Jack in the Box.
Jack
dude.
In the Box was great.
I love all the West Coast fast food ones. In-N-Out.
In Georgia, what did I have? Oh, I had Crystal. Even though we have Crystal, it was not. Anyway, moving on. Here are the odds for this weekend's Mother's Day weekend Bojangles Southern 500, as seen by the folks William Hill, the home of betting. The favorite, Jimmy Johnson, is 11 to 2, a.k.a. 5.5 to 1. Kyle Busch is, well.
For the mathematically challenged out there.
Yeah, exactly. Kyle Busch is 6 to 1. Carl Edwards and Matt Kenseth are 15 to 2. Casey Kane is 8 to 1. Denny Hamlin back in the ride for the first time this weekend, full-time, 9 to 1. Brad Keselowski, 11 to 1, still looking for his first win.
I know Denny's really good at this track, but man, 9 to 1, the guy just got off of a 4 or 5 week layoff.
Back.
He's got a broken back, and this track is going to beat his body down.
I don't know. Brad Keselowski, 11 to 1. Greg Biffle, 12 to 1. Jeff Gordon, 12 to 1. Martin Truex Jr., 14 to 1. And those are the drivers available for the favorite pick. Here come the dark horses. Tony Stewart is a dark horse, 15 to 1. Kevin Harvick and Clint Bowyer are 18 to 1. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 22 to 1. At 40 to 1, you've got Ryan Newman and Mark Martin. At 50 to 1, you've got Joy Logano. Kyle Petty's not the only guy who calls him Joy. A couple of guys
I've heard
are calling him Joy.
Now, are they doing it as you're doing it in mockery, or
no.
That's just the way they say it? Joy!
Joy. As a guy whose name is Joe.
Yeah,
Joe. Like, the guy who used to play for the Yankees, number 5, what was his name?
Joe DiMaggio.
Exactly. The guy who played for the Jets, who predicted the Super Bowl win over the Colts, what was his name?
Broadway Joe.
Right. Joe. NHRA drag racer. Joe Amato. Joe. Right? Joe. Now, when you put a Y on the end of it for fun, you know, to soften it, to make it a cute thing, what is it?
Joe Y.
It's Joe Y. It could be Joe Y. Or it could be
Joe E.
Joey. Joey. Joey.
Not joy.
Joy. Not joy. Not G-G-O-I-E. Joy.
Not J-O-Y, J-O-I-E. Like that dishwashing liquid.
Right. Joy. Not joy. But these are things that just annoy me about names.
Well, because it's your name specifically.
Correct.
And some of us even refer to you as Joey.
Joey. Hey, Joey C. Hey, what's up? Not Joy. Come on, man. Say the name. It's really two syllables. J, O with the line over it, dash, E. Line over it. Joey. J-O dash E. Joey. No. Joy. Makes no sense. Joey Logano, 50-1. Marcos Ambrose, Kurt Busch, 60-1. Ricky Stenhouse, 70-1. At 100-1, Paul Menard and Aric Almirola, along with Jamie McMurray, all 100-1. 150-1, Jeff Burton.
Wow. Woo!
Regan Smith, who won this race in the last 3 years, 2 years ago, 200-1. And Danica Patrick is 350-1. The field is 40-1. All drivers not yet named. There are the odds, according to William Hill, the home of betting. And I got to tell you, Gio, if I was out there where gambling was legal, or somewhere out there on the net where gambling was legal, and I could place a wager, I would definitely be putting $5 each on Regan Smith and Jeff Burton and Kurt Busch. And that's it. For the long shot super flyers. But there you go. The order this week, even though we did not pick a winner, it was Bob Smith, Tommy Noodles, Giovanni, and myself. And so to start it all off, here is professional Las Vegas odds maker Bob Smith.
Hey, guys. How are you? Wow, not one of our best weeks, but, I mean, with all the crashes and the big ones going on, it's amazing we did as well as we did. Hey, you got to give it to the Davids. They did well, and I applaud them. So great for them. This week, we move on to Saturday night racing. Oh, baby, old style, NASCAR old style. We're at Darlington, oldest track, the lady in black, the track too tough to tame. Here we go. It's not a short track, not an intermediate track. It's an intermediate track. We've got a little over, 1.36 miles. It's just a track with four different turns. If you're good in one and two, maybe you're not good in three and four. So it's just always something about finding your rhythm and getting it done here. And I think, especially being at night, it's going to be an exciting race. So, let's go right to the picks. As far as my favorite goes, I'm going with the favorite. I got to go with Jimmy Johnson. He knows how to get it done here. He's one of those drivers that can do, make the adjustments. And that's what's so important about Darlington. You have to be able to adjust on the fly. And, this team does it as good as anybody. So I'm going to go with Jimmy Johnson as my favorite. Now, for my long shot, I'm going to go with a guy that's just been doing well week in, week out, Clint Bowyer. Not that much talked about, but he just does well every single week, week in and week out. So, also got to give a shout out to Jeff Gordon, 700th career start, all of those consecutive. So you gotta respect that. Not a huge Jeff Gordon fan, but you gotta respect 700 starts. Anyway, guys, hey, we're doing well in the picks. Let's get back to our winning ways, and I think Darlington can provide some great entertainment for everybody. Hey, let's enjoy the races, guys. Bye bye.
Bob Smith, professional Las Vegas odds maker, leading us off and having a bunch of wins, takes Jimmy Johnson 11-2 and Clint Bowyer at 18-1. And now Tommy Noodles will make his pick. Tommy Noodles making his pick. All right, Tom, this week you're the guy who gets to do it live. Make your pick.
Hey, this week I get to go second, so that's pretty cool. But let's see. I'm going to go long shot, which isn't really that long, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick, and we'll see what happens with that. 18-1 is pretty good in a place like Darlington. Pretty sure that's going to be my winner. And then for my favorite...
Why bother making a favorite pick if you're so confident with Harvick?
Because I just saw who my favorite is. Casey Kane, 8-1. That's why you do it. I get two excellent picks this week. Hopefully, I get to go first. Final. I just need a win.
You need a win, baby.
And
what else is up with Tommy Noodles' life since he's picking Casey Kane at 8-1 and Kevin Harvick at 18-1? Eight's very present in both of those picks. What about Tommy? How's Tommy?
Tommy is excellent. Just you know, enjoying the racing this year. It's going by fabulous. You know, there's always something to talk about. And you?
Oh, I am very good and very excited about having you on to make your pick live. And we'll keep you on the phone so the great Giovanni in Miami can make his pick for this weekend's Southern 500, and you and I can critique it. How about that, Tom? Giovanni, go for it.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, all right, all right, all right. I'm up again, and this year I have produced zero winners.
Zero.
But I get the feeling that I just might come through. The show has gone on a bit of a slump here with two weeks of no winners. But let's forget about that. We're going to pick a winner here today, and I'm going with the Bushes. With my favorite, I'm going with Kyle at 6-1 because this is a Kyle kind of track. And I'm going with Kurt because he's been running well, and it's the 10-year anniversary of his run with Ricky Craven. And I say he might just duplicate that and actually pull up a win for that Furniture Row team.
How crazy was it, them showing the top five finishes of all time or whatever during the rain delay? Just the difference in the cars back then. Just how crazily different the cars looked back then, Tommy, when you were watching Talladega during the rain delay.
I was amazed that it's been 10 years. That's incredible. But they did just look like, you know, an aerodynamic jelly bean. So I love the new car.
Oh, I enjoy the new car as well. I think the new car is working out very well. So Gio takes Kurt Busch at 60-1 and Kyle Busch at 6-1 and just calls them the Bushes. And I like those picks. I think they're both great picks if Kyle can keep from wrecking the field. And that leaves me, my turn. I am picking last. I have had a nightmare of a couple of weeks. I even left my B driver off my fantasy team. It's just been all in my B driver.
I'm doing so much better than you in fantasy this year.
Yes, you are. And yet at the end of the year, you'll be behind me. So
you might not be able to play next year. That's the rule.
What? If what?
Last year, you made the rule that if you are below me, you don't get to play again next year.
No, that's not the way the rule went. It was last year because you quit.
Only because I'm doing well this year.
No, it was because you quit and then you restarted.
Never.
And so, yes, we all know you quit. This year, the rule is if you finish behind the Republicans on our fantasy league, who they started like four races in or five races in, if you finish behind them, then you are banned from the league. So I'm going to finish ahead of the Republicans this year. And there you go. All right, I'm going to make my picks. Listen, I like Bob's picks of Jimmy Johnson and Clint Bowyer and Tommy's of KFK and Kevin Harvick. And don't forget, folks, you can hear an interview with Casey Kane in last night's Nitro show right before the NHRA versus NASCAR softball game as he was getting ready to take the field. You can hear a little Casey Kane. And no, I did not ask him if he liked the nickname KFK. It just didn't seem appropriate at that time. Now my picks. For my favorite, Matt Kenseth is just running so well. He's not converting in every race, but he has led and dominated several races that he hasn't won, Talladega included. I think Matt Kenseth can get the job done. He's 15-2, which is 7.5-1, and I'm picking fourth, so I decided I liked him better than the Carl Edwards and the Denny Hamlins of the world.
Great. You want to put us to sleep?
Pick.
Oh, what's that?
Great pick.
Thank you very much. Now, it's not beyond Denny Hamlin to come back and just win.
I think the stats bear out that he'll win the second race back.
Okay. All right. That's what the numbers are telling Giovanni, which I like. So there you go. Matt Kenseth, 15-1. And now my dark horse, which there was a bit of controversy off the air, and I did make a mistake picking two favorites. But you guys, if you see the list, you can see why. That 14-1 shot is kind of buried among the rest of the dark horses.
Somebody must have gone and plopped a big number on him and brought the odds way down.
Maybe so. But
not for Martin Truex to have an illegal car this weekend.
Something's going on there. But I was forced to, at the last second, renegotiate my pick. And I went down the list and I was looking and I thought about Joy. And I thought about Mark Martin. And I thought about couple of different drivers. But then I said, you know what? It's going to take a little veteran savvy to get the job done here this weekend. And I went, I could have gone with Regan Smith. Now, he won here just a couple of years ago at 200-1, but that was a little too deep. I decided Jeff Burton, he's been running better, 150-1. Jeff Burton.
Does he even still race?
What do you mean? He had a top five just a couple of weeks ago.
But what have you done for me lately?
He retired years ago.
he did. Him and Mark Martin, they went out the same year, right? Oh, wait. That was
and Rusty Wallace, too. Yeah, that was the year.
Remember when they got those rocking chairs?
Well, Rusty Wallace actually stayed retired, right?
Yes, Rusty stayed retired. And he's probably thinking to himself, man, I could have been making millions of dollars. But then again, we know Rusty has said that safety was one of the big reasons he wanted to retire. He'd pretty much had enough, and he's pretty obvious about it. So I take Jeff Burton at 150-1. Here are the picks. I took Matt Kenseth at 15-2 and Jeff Burton at 150-1. Giovanni takes the Bushes, Kyle at 6-1 and Kurt at 60-1. How about that, by the way? Kurt 60-1. I'm all over that. I'm liking these odds. I'm all over.
Yeah.
How can you not like that?
Listen, earlier in the show, I told my Kentucky Derby story, which was great. I'm big into the gambling. If it's not horsepower, it's horsepower. Tommy Noodles takes KFK at 8-1 and Kevin Harvick at 18-1. And Bob Smith, we heard from him first, takes Jimmy Johnson at 11-2 and Clint Bowyer at 18-1. And there you have it. Those are our picks for the Southern 500, the Bojangles Southern 500, and the odds provided by William Hill. There you go. How about that, Tommy Noodles?
I can't wait to go first next week. My picks are perfect.
You have great picks. Well, Tommy, thank you very much for stopping by. We appreciate it. Got anything you want to force down our throat, like a plug or something? Go ahead.
Okay, well, at 9:30 this evening, you can Fox. There's a Facebook page, there'll be a link up.
That is excellent. Well, great job.
Someone's got to be an idiot.
Well, hey, what are you going to do? Tommy, thank you very much for making your picks. We certainly appreciate it. Great job with Tommy Time this week. It was just hysterical.
I love hanging out with you, Joseph.
Hilarious. All right, Tommy.
Hilarious.
Hilarious. And, hey, talk to you soon. And there you have it. Another Tailgate Party Pick Show, and for those of you who listen to Ignition, downloaded it off iTunes, or listen in the free WFO Radio app, you will also find the Ignition Show separated from the Tailgate Party Pick Show. The Pick Show comes out on Friday. Giovanni puts it up there, so just like we always do, the Pick Show becomes available on Friday on the front page of WFOradio.com and in the WFO Radio app. Which is very cool, except it is in the short clips.
In the short clips, in the clip section of the app, and it's on the front page on the left-hand column where the clips are also of the website.
So if you just want to go back and listen to the picks, or you just want to hear the picks, you can either listen to the full Ignition Show or just get the Picks Show, which comes out on Friday. Well, that's going to do it. Thanks to Tommy Noodles and Bob Smith for helping us make our picks, and Giovanni for hanging out, and thanks to Talladega for being so cool, and Darlington, and Lewis Hamilton for loving Fernando Alonso, and thanks to that beautiful girl who helped me win the $125. That's the real story here. And oh, by the way, the Air Titan. Thanks to NASCAR for inventing the Air Titan. The real story of this whole week was the use of the Air Titan. And it's almost like you're rooting for it to rain, just to see how quick they can clean it up. What they need to do is they need to get the Titan out there drying half the track, and the Jets on the other half of the track, so we can see exactly how much quicker this deal is. That's just me. I'm a racer. I want to race things. Let's race Air Titan versus Jet Dryers. Set it up. All right, folks, that's going to do it. Remember, WFO Radio app is free. You can gift it to your friends. Just go to the App Store, gift it, send it to them. They get it. That's the way it works. It's great stuff. And thanks to all our new listeners and old listeners and people who are young in the middle, of course. And don't forget, Friday, 7 to 8, call the WFO line, 954-889-6796, 954-889-6796. Leave your contact information. Every other caller will be registered for Smokey and the Bandit Trivia, something we'll be doing in the future here on the show. That's going to do it. See ya.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.